The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome and happy Christmas to everybody as we gather on this first Sunday of Christmas. And we also want to say welcome to all those who are joining us at home. And we are particularly thinking this morning of those who are isolating, maybe in nursing homes or hospitals, and tuning in today. And you're very welcome if you're joining us today on the live stream. Just wanted to mention that next Sunday, our services are a special Christmas Carol Songs of Praise at 11 o'clock next Sunday morning, and next Sunday evening at 7, the service of evening prayer. And we begin our worship today as we sing together our opening hymn, God Rest You, Merry Gentlemen. Our service today is the service of Holy Communion. We pray together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you
and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. Our special prayer for today, the first Sunday of Christmas. Almighty God, who wonderfully created us in your own image, and yet more wonderfully restored us through your Son, Jesus Christ, grant that as he came to share in our humanity, so we may share the life of his divinity, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. The epistle is written in the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians in the third chapter, beginning to read at the 12th verse. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hear the words of the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ according to St. Luke in the second chapter, beginning to read at the 41st verse. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Every day, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in one God.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We're going to sing again the hymn, "I Love to Hear the Story."
I love to hear the story.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I've always been interested in the way that children demonstrate great skill from an early age at particular things. It might be sports, or it might be music, or it might be mathematical problems, but they very often seem to show this incredible aptitude from an early age. And this morning, I wanted to think a little bit about those early signs of greatness. And the first example I'm going to give you is that the well-known golfer, Rory McIlroy. And you might have seen there's some very famous TV footage from an appearance that Rory made on television about the age, I think, of 8 or 9. And he appeared on the Jerry Kelly Show. And he successfully chipped a bucket of golf balls into the drum of a washing machine, one after the other, stroked them all in without the slightest bit of bother. Already at that age, people were talking about this young man's talent, and he was happy to practice all day long to become the best that he could become. I think too of a young man from a parish where I once worked, and he helped me to lead our youth fellowship in the parish. And I remember this young man coming up to me and offering me money that he had saved from his summer job when he was a teenager in order to enable other young teenagers to attend a Christian festival. So influenced was he by his faith in Jesus that he wanted other people to find the same thing and to give away the hard-earned money that he had been saving over the summer to make it possible. It was pretty inspiring from someone who at that time was about 16 years old, and he later went on to enter full-time Christian service, and he continues to work with and to inspire young people in the life of faith to this very day. He works with university students. And looking at Mary and Joseph from our gospel reading this morning, observing the religious festivals and bringing the boy Jesus to the feast of the Passover, I wanted us to think for a moment or two about doing the ordinary things well in our lives. How do we set a good example to the people that we try to influence? Well, we try to model what we believe to be right. And as we've been following the events right through Advent and learning more about Mary and Joseph, we learned that they weren't wealthy people in themselves. They were humble. They were hardworking. And it was always going to be for them a sacrifice for them to make their way to Jerusalem for this religious festival. But they wanted to make it possible for Jesus as a boy to embrace the faith. And so they did everything in their power to make it a priority to bring Jesus to the temple. And if you are a parent or a godparent or a grandparent, let me tell you that I know it's not easy to bring your children to church. Usually I rely on Vicky to do it in our house, but it's only when we're on holiday generally that I'm in any way involved in getting the family ready to come to church. And on those occasions, I always become aware of how hard it can be. Anything can go wrong in that hour before you go to church. So anything that we as a church can do to help parents and families to bring their children and young people to church
is really important. And that's why I'm constantly grateful to our Sunday school teachers and our youth organization leaders and our parent and toddler group for the way that they introduce our children to the idea of a God who loves them. And they're taking a well-earned break for the next couple of weeks, but we're grateful for their ministry to our children and young people. It's also reassuring to me to hear that even Jesus' parents made very human mistakes, and they left him behind in Jerusalem. It gave me a bit of heart, and it took me back to when our own two children were very small, and I remember taking them in the pram on my own for the very first time to the park. And I was all pleased with myself when I arrived back home, only to discover that I'd left the pram at the side of the road back at the park. But Jesus' parents made mistakes. And we might wonder how this particular mistake took place, but back in those times, very often when people were traveling, they traveled in groups as protection against the robbers on the roads. Women and children would be at the front, and the men would be at the back of the group as they made their long journeys across inhospitable roads. And I guess when Jesus was at the age of 12, which is when this account takes place, he fell in between stools. He could be either at the front with the women and the children, or he could be towards the back with the men. And it was quite natural to think, as his parents did, that he was probably with the other parent, when in fact he wasn't there at all. And searching for Jesus, and it must have been an incredibly worrying few days, they found him eventually in the temple, sitting among the teachers and listening and asking questions. And what a powerful pointer we have here of Jesus' appetite to go deeper in the spiritual life. People would naturally be asking, who is this boy? Whose son is he? But his parents were disappointed that he hadn't come with them, and they were naturally very concerned and anxious about all the stress that he had caused them by remaining behind. And it's then that we hear Jesus' first recorded words in Luke's gospel in verse 49. And Jesus' words are extremely significant. He said to his parents, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" And you see how very gently but very definitely Jesus takes the name Father from Joseph and he gives it to God. And so here we have the story of the day when Jesus discovered who he truly was, the Son of God. And these first recorded words of Jesus are a statement about himself and that claim to a relationship between himself and God that was different from and deeper than anything he had ever known before. But the last thing I want to say about this discovery that Jesus made is that it didn't make Jesus proud. It didn't make him look down on his humble parents. But we're told in that gospel account that Jesus went home and he was obedient to them. And he spent the next 18 years or so under their authority. The very fact that he was God's son made him the perfect son of his human parents. And so we see in his humility and in his obedience, pointers to Jesus' true greatness. And those pointers will continue to unfold as people read their way through Luke's gospel, which we will be doing in the coming months in our lectionary on Sunday mornings. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promise through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. We pray for your church throughout the world, for this diocese, and for David, our bishop. And today, as we think of Jesus as he started to grow into adolescence and adulthood, we pray for the same desire in our lives to go deeper in our faith and to know God in that personal way in our own lives in the year ahead. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations of the world, and today we continue to pray for great wisdom for all our politicians and the leaders of the nations as they try to act wisely to protect us from the Omicron variant of COVID-19. We pray for the courage they need in making difficult decisions, and for wisdom on all our parts, and for the resourcing of an infrastructure that will enable the poorer countries of the world to receive vaccinations and facilities to keep people safe. Today we pray particularly for the people of South Africa as they mourn the death of Archbishop Desmond Tutu, a figurehead for reconciliation and peacemaking in a very divided society. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. We pray especially for all who've had to isolate over Christmas. And we pray too for all whose work and livelihoods have been affected by the latest restrictions. We pray for all involved in hospitality and catering and nightclubs. And we ask for your provision in these uncertain times. We also pray today for all known to us who are sick or in hospital. We pray for those who have been bereaved. And we ask that your presence would bring hope and comfort to them in all that they are dealing with. So we just take a quiet moment to bring those particularly in our thoughts into God's healing presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
We do not presume. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies, we are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you." And we join together to sing our next hymn, "Unto Us Is Born a Son." Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us.
He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin.
Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life.
At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true God.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory.
Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying,
"Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest."
Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words.
Amen.
Amen.
The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread.
If you're visiting us this morning, or if you are here for the first time in quite a while, we want to just remind people that the Church of Ireland has an open table when it comes to communion. And if you'd like to receive communion, you're very welcome to do so if you're accustomed to doing so in whatever church you have come from. And also to say that during this COVID season, we are guided to receive communion just through bread only as we remember the sacrifice of our Lord for us. We receive the bread. Heavenly Father, you have refreshed us with this heavenly sacrament. As your Son came to live among us, grant us grace to live our lives united in love and obedience as those who long to live with him in heaven. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we pray together, Almighty God.
Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory.
Amen. May the joy of the angels, the wonder of the shepherds, and the peace of the Christ child fill your hearts this Christmas time, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore.
Amen.
Thank you for sharing with us in our worship today, whether you're here in the building or whether you are at home or elsewhere. It's been good to have your company as we worship together. Our closing hymn today, "The Holly and the Ivy."